Welcome to installment 23 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will continue our discussion of positive commandment number 5, the commandment regarding prayer. As we discussed yesterday, the Rambam quotes 4 verses from the Chumash, which he uses as a source for the commandment of prayer. None of the 4 mention prayer explicitly, but rather use an expression la'avdei, or sa'aved, one should serve God. The commandment to serve God might be viewed as an all-encompassing commandment, as we have other commandments such as walking in the paths of Hashem and so on, which are not counted among the 613 commandments. The reason is, as the Rambam described in his 4th of the introductory principles, is because they cover all of Torah and mitzvahs, so how could they be considered to be a specific command? So too we might think regarding all of these verses which say one must serve God. Serving Him means to do the mitzvahs, according to the simple explanation. However, our sages tell us that Aveda service means specifically Aveda Shebelev, serving Hashem with our heart. And how do we serve using our heart? This is with prayer. And since there is a specific detail associated with these verses, the Rambam counts it as part of the 613 commandments, the mitzvah of tefillah. The Rambam brings a source for this from the sayings of our sages, from the Sifri, which states that the idea of serving Hashem is referring specifically to prayer, and is also hinting to Torah, but since which we already have a separate verse for. Furthermore, in the teachings of Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Glili, the Rambam quotes that from where do we know that tefillah is besecha mitzvahs, that is included in the count of the mitzvahs. And it quotes one of these verses regarding serving Hashem. From here we see again that this is counted as one of the biblical commandments, since it said it is counted among the mitzvahs. Furthermore, the Rambam quotes our sages elsewhere who say, Avdeu b'teirasei, avdeu b'mikdashei. We must serve Hashem through learning Torah and serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. But the explanation is given that it does not mean the service of the sacrifices in the temple. Rather, it is referring to praying in the temple, as declared in the Book of Kings from King Solomon. And furthermore, as our sages say in the Talmud, that when we cannot pray in the temple, we should at least pray facing the temple, directing our prayers to the temple, as our sages tell us that all prayers ascend up to the heavens through the temple in Jerusalem. And if one is if one is outside Israel, he should pray facing the land of Israel. Here in our lands, we faced eastward, but in other lands south of Israel, they would face north. If one is already in Israel, one should pray facing Jerusalem. If one is in Jerusalem, one prays facing the temple. If one is inside the temple grounds, one prays facing the Heichal, the large building in the Beis HaMikdash. And if one is in there, one prays facing the Holy of Holies, where no one is allowed to go in except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It is from this place, where there is an intense revelation of godliness, that all prayers ascend to the heavens. Since all the Jews are uniting their prayers, and we are facing all towards this one place where godliness is revealed on earth. Although, as we mentioned, prayer is a service of the heart, nevertheless prayer must be uttered with the lips. It must be said verbally. And even the silent prayer, the so-called silent prayer of the Amida, even this must be uttered verbally. And the law is that lechatchila, one should verbally hear with one's own ears the words which are being uttered. If one has not moved the lips whatsoever, it is not considered prayer, and the person should pray again. This is because we need a physical act, as all of the commandments involve some sort of physical activity. In this case, since it is possible to speak, one is required to verbally utter the prayers. However, the essence of prayer is still a service of the heart. One must have kavana, proper intention. And the law is that one is absolutely required to have kavana, proper intention, at least the translation and understanding of the words, in the first blessing of all of the blessings of the Amida. There are a number of other places in the prayer service where one is absolutely required to have such kavana, such as the first verse of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kved, and so too the verse Peseach Es Yodecha, as well as a number of other places in the Torah regarding the oral tradition. The oral Torah, sections of Torah in the prayer service, which one is required to understand in order to be considered Torah study, and thereby part of the prayer service. Should one say the verse Peseach Es Yadecha, which is in Ashrei, and not have in mind what one is saying, one is required to repeat the verse, and so too for Shema and Baruch Shem. Regarding the first blessing of Shmoneh Esrei, it is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch that if one did not have proper intention to all words of the first blessing, one should repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. But the anecdote is told of the Alter Rebbe who was once asked this question, and he replied that this law is not made for you, and it's not made for me. The law is not made for me, said the Alter Rebbe, because I am not going to miss my intention the first time I say this prayer. I always have intention not only in this blessing, but others, all others as well. And the law was not made for you either, because what's going to happen when you daven again? The second time also you're not going to have proper intention. So what good will it do for you to repeat it? One obviously must be in a proper state of mind in order to be able to achieve this intention during davening, the intention which is required. We thereby see in the Rambam's legal code that he requires that one should sit for a while quietly before davening in order to concentrate, to direct his attention towards the presence of Hashem. Furthermore, in the Code of Jewish Law, it is stated that one should meditate upon the Remes Hakel Veshiflus HaAdam, on the elevation, the lofty status of Hashem, and the comparative lowness of a person. And this is a requirement, evidently, before any time one davens the Amidah. We therefore see, according to Jewish law, a required period of meditation or thought before the prayer service starts. This idea has been expanded upon in Hasidic philosophy, where prayer has taken an outstanding role as a way of serving God. This is actually one of the ways in which the Hasidim were originally distinguished, stood out from among all other observant Jews, in that they placed extra stress on the idea of prayer and achieving closeness to God through the activity of prayer. And the way this is achieved, at least partly, is through meditation in the greatness of Hashem before and during the prayer service. Many examples are given in Hasidic philosophy about different things to think about to inspire oneself to come closer to Hashem during the prayer service. An obvious first step is to understand the translation of the prayers, because it is difficult to inspire yourself when you do not understand the words you are saying. However, there are many levels in which one can inspire oneself to have a closeness to Hashem. For example, one could meditate about Magodl Maisecha Hashem Marabu Maisecha, how great are your works and how many are your works, thinking about the numerous creations which Hashem has made and their greatness and their complexity. And a person will accordingly feel their insignificance personally in comparison to the entire creation. In addition, Alter Rebbe mentions in Tanya that this idea of the meditation about the greatness of Hashem should bring us to a further conclusion. Imagine, for example, says the Alter Rebbe, that you were in a country where there is a great king, and this king suddenly picked you to come into his chamber and hugged you and kissed you and showed a tremendous closeness to you. Imagine now, he says, that the king was not only a regular king, but the highest king you could imagine. And you are not just a regular person, but the lowest sort of person, that he dragged you out of the garbage heap and pulled you into the palace. You would feel a tremendous love and a tremendous closeness towards the king. The Alter Rebbe says that we should realize the same, and even more so in comparison with Hashem. And this is in fact what we discuss in the prayer service. In the Psuki de Zimra, the hymns of praise, we discuss the greatness of Hashem and the many works he has made. Furthermore, in the first blessing before Shema, we speak about how even the angels, who have such a superior form of intelligence and a superior realization of the greatness of Hashem, say that Hashem is completely beyond them, completely higher than them, which is in the Mashal, in our example, like the king who is extremely high. Then we say in the second blessing, immediately before Shema, that Avos El Maftanu, that Hashem, you have shown a tremendous love for us, that even though we are so far away from your greatness, you have singled us out and shown an intense personal love to us. And this will help us be inspired with a great love and closeness for Hashem. Furthermore, through the actual thought process itself, a person can become extremely elevated and have tremendous spiritual opening and realization of the greatness of Hashem, and will actually reach a point where the physical world releases his hold upon him, and he no longer relates only to the physical, but can have an actual feeling, a sense of grasp of the spiritual as well. There was once a chassid who went to the famous chassid Rabbi Hillel Paracher and asked him what should he do. He always thinks about chassidus and meditates about the greatness of Hashem before davening and has a tremendous excitement and a tremendous emotional feeling towards godliness. But then when he starts to pray, it suddenly goes away. What should he do? So Rabbi Hillel Paracher incidentally answered him that, why are you asking me? You should go to the Rebbe. He said, just because you don't have a lulav and an esrog on sukkahs, he says, then you're going to take a stick because there's nobody else around. You're going to take something which is not proper. If you can't get to the Rebbe, then wait till you get there. But what are you asking me for? But since the chassid impressed him with this question, Rabbi Hillel finally answered. And he answered him that who cares if you daven before you daven or if you daven when you daven? If you pray during the prayer service, that's good. If you can't do that, what if you pray? Meaning, what if you attain this closeness and this realization of godliness before you actually begin to say the words? No, it's also prayer. Better, you should bring it into the actual service. But this is also a type of prayer. This spiritual advancement during the prayer service is not only a realization, but is actually accompanied by tremendous revelations of godliness. It is said that the four parts of the prayer service, beginning from the introductory section, with the second being the verses of praise, the third being the section of the Shema, and the fourth being the silent prayer, correspond to the four worlds of Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, and Atzilus. And therefore, the order is very particularly placed in order to help the soul achieve its ascent during the prayer service. It is said that the Arizal would need a minyan, a quorum of 10 men, more after the Amida, the silent prayer, than before. Because in order to get up to the highest world of Atzilus, this he could do even without a minyan. But to come back down, that the successive stages of the prayer service, to come back down, are also specifically placed, he says this would be very difficult unless he had a minyan. Even by the end of the prayer service, there are tremendous revelations. The Maggid of Mezritch used to call in a minyan by Ein Kelokeinu, which comes right before the end of the prayer service in Nuzachari. So once he called in a minyan, and they happened to call in a young man who later became the Chayz of Lublin. The Maggid said, you should have brought someone else. He's a batlin, he's incompetent. What are you bringing him here for? But he was already there, so they started to pray. They started, Ein Kelokeinu, there's none like our God. And immediately the Chayz of Lublin fainted. They tried to bring him to his consciousness. And the Maggid say, didn't I tell you he was a batlin, he was incompetent? We started saying, Ein Kelokeinu, and he was able to see all the heavenly hosts who came to listen to our prayers and the tumult which had been started among them. And he fainted right away. You see, he's totally incompetent. He is unable to participate in the prayer service. If you had brought someone else, he wouldn't have been afraid. He wouldn't have seen. And we would have been able to continue with our prayers.